Some of you may be wondering why we still have our Christmas decorations displayed. Well, it's not because the parish elves went on strike and just haven't gotten around to putting them away, but rather we follow the tradition set up by Pope St. John Paul II in Rome, that the Christmas decorations stay up until the Feast of the Presentation of the Lord, February 2nd, 40 days after Christmas. Actually, it's very wonderful that we have them up, because now that all the festivities and the rush of the holidays is over, we can appreciate the decorations much better. At least I can. And so as we look upon these, we actually have a great meditation upon the great gift of life that God has given to us, and a life of grace that His Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, has given to us. So when we look at that little manger scene and we see baby Jesus, we're reminded of the very words of our Lord, that God so loved the world, He gave His only Son, not to condemn, but to give everlasting life to those who believe. Yes, God gave life. He gave life to Adam and Eve, made in His image. But we know sin came into this world through them. Sin grew. The effects of sin grew. And there was this chasm, a chasm caused by sin, separating God from man. How to heal that? It would take an act of God, because only God could bring the healing, but it would take an act of man, because man causes the sin. And here's the mystery of the incarnation, that Jesus Christ, true God, second person of the Holy Trinity, one in being with the Father, the Word of God, entered this world becoming true man, through Mary, who'd conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit. As we read in St. John's Gospel, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory, the glory of an only begotten Son filled with enduring grace and truth. And so how beautiful it is to gaze upon this little manger scene and see our Savior, who became one like us in all things but sin. As we do so, though, as we look upon this, we have some very important moral truths that we have to live in order to live life. First is, each of us has a human dignity. When we look at Jesus, true God who became true man, He gave us a dignity even greater than what Adam and Eve had. So we have a dignity. Each one of us here is purposely willed by God. Each one of us here has been given life by God. When we look at that scene, we see another moral truth, and that is Jesus was a person from the very first moment of His conception. So life is sacred from conception to natural death. Would anyone look at this scene and say, well, Jesus wasn't Jesus in the womb of our Blessed Mother, that Jesus wasn't a person in the womb of our Blessed Mother? Absolutely not. Life is sacred from conception till natural death. We look to and we see that our Lord was born in the context of marriage. So Mary and Joseph, husband and wife. God established that union because husband and wife, man and woman, have a dignity given by God. But to complete the image of God, we have marriage. How beautiful it is when man and woman become husband and wife, and they really fulfill each other. And then in union with God, they may bring forth life. How sacred that conjugal love of marriage is. So our Lord was born in the context of marriage. He's born in the context of a family. How essential these truths are. And these are the truths that give us life, the life that God wants us to live. As we look at this scene, though, and it's very important why we put it here in front of our altar, we look up and we see that cross. We see Jesus the man. So as a man in His public ministry, He showed God's love to us. He perfectly revealed God's truth. He showed God's love not just by word, but by His deeds. And He cared for all. The sinners, the lame, the blind, the sick, the suffering, the dying. Christ showed value among all the different ones that He encountered. And then we look and we see the crucified Jesus, the Lamb of God. In our gospel today, St. John looked upon Jesus and said, "There's the Lamb of God." Just like the Passover lamb at the time of the Exodus scene was slaughtered, and its blood protected the Jewish people, and its blood freed them from that land of slavery, of sin, of death, so that they could then be led to the promised land, the land of freedom, life, and grace. Jesus is that lamb. He opened wide his arms, offering the sacrifice for our sins. So he opens his arms, and he offers a life of grace. Life of grace that comes through all of our sacraments. He opens his arms to welcome the contrite sinner. No matter how awful the sin may have been, Christ offers forgiveness to anyone who comes with a humble, contrite heart and wants to begin life again. He opens his arms wide to share in our sufferings. We all suffer, and without Christ, suffering would make no sense. But with Christ, we can embrace him, and with him, we can offer our sufferings to atone for our sins, for the poor souls in purgatory, for the sins of others, the sins of this world. Christ opens his arms to give us the hope of everlasting life. He died, but he rose again. And so he wants to walk with us in this life, to lead us to heaven. He opened those gates through his resurrection. And so he wants to lead us through this life so that we can attain everlasting life in the Father's house. What a beautiful gift this is. This is the life that we believe in as Christians. It's a life of grace with our Lord. This is the value of our human life. With that, then, we think of how the apostles today, who were the disciples of St. John, Andrew, and St. John the Apostle. So St. John says, "There's the Lamb of God." They see Jesus, and they say, "Where do you stay?" Jesus says, "Come and see." So they were searching. They found Jesus. They stayed with him. It must have been a wonderful encounter, because even St. John records the time of day, 4 in the afternoon. But when they left, they wanted to bring Peter to see Jesus. So my brothers and sisters, we're called to find Jesus if we want real life. To live life, we have to be with Jesus, stay with Jesus, and live with him. This helps us understand what St. Paul was speaking of. St. Paul, writing to the Corinthians, says the body's not for immorality. And he says that the body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. We aren't just a physical thing. We aren't an animal. We just don't live by passions, by feelings, by instincts. God's given us a soul. A temple of the Holy Spirit is this body. We have this soul that gives us that image of God, a soul that's immortal. And so we're called to live life as a human being, but life with God. Life as God wants it to be lived. When St. Paul writes this to the Corinthians, he does so for good reason. The Corinthians were like, well, one could say Corinth, the city in Greece, part of the Roman Empire, was like a New York City, a bustling trade center, filled with all kinds of things, and one could find all kinds of things. But if we read St. Paul's letters, and we look at just historical archaeology, we know that Corinth was a den of immorality. In Corinth, you could do anything. There was contraception, abortion, infanticide, adultery, incest, the practice of homosexuality, suicide, euthanasia. There was pornography, drunkenness, drug abuse, all kinds of things. Top that off, a husband could readily beat his wife without any penalty. A father could sell his children into slavery without any kind of penalty. Entertainment were the gladiator battles until death, bloodthirsty entertainment. That was the life of Corinth. But St. Paul says, you want real life? Look to Christ. You want to live real life? Look to Christ. Come and see. And they did. And that's why, eventually, little Corinth was converted. So, my brothers and sisters, we look at this message, and we look at our world, and we think, good heavens, many things haven't changed, have they? So there's a real choice to make. This Friday, we have the Right to Life March in Washington. And it's important for us to remember then, not just the sanctity of life of the unborn, but the gift of life. We look at our culture today, including America, comparing it to Corinth, many of the same problems. And part of it is, we've forgotten life is with Christ. Life is the way God has given us life and wants it to be lived. When we think about Roe versus Wade, which declared an unborn child a non-person whose life could be taken at any point, I really believe that's the root of all the problems. Because when the state can say when life begins or ends, when the state can say who a person is or who isn't, we're all at risk. If the unborn child's life is not sacred, no one's is. And that's why you look at the news and you see the crimes against life. We've lost the value. So for us then, as Christians, we always have to focus on Christ and be a witness of the beautiful life that He wants us to have. That's the key. We want to live this scene. We want to show people, if you want real life, embrace Christ. How do we do this? Well, the best way is have a good, strong Christian faith, a Christian marriage, a Christian family. We look at our parish and we even see people who have welcomed into their lives children with disabilities. How beautiful that is. Or relatives that are suffering and sick. Families that have cared for elderly who are dying. How beautiful that is, because it shows the value of those persons, and those persons keep us all human. We show our witness by the good works of our parish, things like giving to Birthright, as we do in a poor box collection, or today we start a baby bottle drive for Birthright, or we have our food collection. So many different ways in which we defend life. I've known families that have welcomed girls in trouble into their home and made sure they had the care and the home they needed to have a child, rather than the bad alternative. Also, many families have made exceptional sacrifices. A beautiful story is there's a congresswoman, Jamie Butler, from Washington State, who's a very pro-life congresswoman. 4 years ago, she and her husband were expecting a baby, and the baby was diagnosed with Potter's syndrome, meaning no kidneys. Well, the doctor said, you should terminate the pregnancy. They said, no, this is our baby. This is the baby God gave us. So baby was born, was on dialysis for 3 years, and last year, the father, Daniel, gave a kidney to his little girl, and now she's living a regular life. That's Christian witness. That's Christian love. That's Christian life. So my brothers and sisters, look into our own lives. We look at our world, and like St. Paul, we're called to be the evangelizers. In between our manger scene and our cross is our altar. In a few minutes, bread and wine become the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord. Jesus, the bread of life, comes to dwell within this temple of the Holy Spirit. May we then go forth like the good witnesses of the gift of life that God wants us to have and to share with others. Maybe someone might come up to say to us this day, where do you stay? And we could say, I stay with Jesus. Come and see. May God bless you.